Our reading is from John's Gospel at chapter 11, where Jesus comforts the sisters of Lazarus on his death. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been there here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying?" And then, in Matthew's Gospel, the second beatitude, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Amen. May God bless this reading and our meditation upon this subject of bereavement. It is one of the most difficult I've tackled. Not that there isn't much written on the subject, nor because there are no Bible examples of people grieving. Our passage draws us alongside Martha and Mary. But because each of us has faced bereavement, all of us have felt the pain of grief. I looked in a mirror and saw one who had known bereavement and grief. Some recently, the loss of a loved one, the death of a child, a parent, spouse, a close friend. and I wondered whether I could be sufficiently sensitive so as not to hurt those who are still hurting, to tread so carefully through the scriptural texts so as to point to the one in whom we can have hope, to the one who can bring us comfort, to the one who is the resurrection and the life. I had just written that paragraph a fortnight ago when I started preparing this. And you'll remember, then the news just broke of the stabbing and death of the lad at Cults Academy. What could be said to the bereaving parent, the grieving parents, to the pupils and teachers at the school? Trite words or platitudes would not suffice. Clichés concerning mourning best left unsaid. For at a time such as this, promises of comfort have to be real. Promises of hope have to be solid and substantial. Compassion, heartfelt, real and personal. Are these found in Christ Jesus, our Lord? I believe that they are. And indeed, without God in such situations, things are only worse, not better. Do we have all the answers? No, we don't. But our God is the God who hears the anguished cry. The psalmist shouts, "Why, Lord? Do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" And after some more, "Whys," says, "But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider the grief and take it in hand." He ends Psalm 10 by saying, "You, Lord, hear the desires of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry." This is our God. Yet there is no denying that in grief, in bereavement, there is a deep feelings of pain and anguish. It may also be experienced in other circumstances. The breakup of a relationship can be painful. Divorce can be an anguish. Even what might seem less serious, the loss of a pet, may trigger similar depths of grief and loss. Yet Martha and Mary had lost their brother Lazarus. Lost is not a euphemism, a word just to lessen the blow of death. For although they knew where the body of Lazarus was in the grave, the person Lazarus, the brother they knew, was no longer with them. Something significant had happened. Something was indeed lost. They had sent for Jesus when Lazarus was ill. But by the time he arrived, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Both sisters believed that had Jesus been there, Lazarus would not have died. Jesus was able and capable of healing him. But we note that each sister reacted to bereavement in very different ways. And Jesus responded to them accordingly. We see in this the real compassion of Jesus, the personal love that he shows to each one of us. Mary, Martha rather, still held out hope in God that he would give Jesus whatever he asked. And Jesus tactfully pushes her faith on a little, saying, "Your brother will rise again." To which she responds in her faith, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Words which were almost like a statement of faith in God, a creed recited, coming in some ways from the heart, from the mind. But it did give her comfort. Remember Job, when the news came to him that all his animals had been taken or destroyed and that his sons and daughters had been killed. He responds in the deepest anguish, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall depart. The Lord gives, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." For some, such words arising as they do out of a deep faith in God, for they hold on to God for comfort despite all. Such words spoken out of the numbness of grief bring comfort. But Jesus takes Martha a step further. The day, resurrection, at the last day. Yes, but take comfort, Martha. For I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And he gently challenges her, "Do you believe this?" To which Martha responds, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who is to come into the world." For those to whom this approach is suitable, what words of hope this is. They are, of course, true for all people. But some may not meet, but for some, they may not meet the need at the time of loss. For people react in various ways to death of a beloved. When Jacob thought Joseph, his son, had been killed, he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave." When David, the rebellious son, Absalom, was slain, the king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and wept, saying, "If only I had died instead of you, O Absalom, my son, my son." Mary in our passage also was distraught and only came to Jesus when Martha calls her with the words, "Jesus is asking for you." No promise of resurrection. Just that kindly compassion and companionship of Jesus was to be her comfort. Weeping openly, she went to Jesus. He was deeply moved and troubled. "Where have you lain him?" he asked. And in words of deepest sympathy with Mary, we read, Jesus wept. Oh, let us not miss that deep compassion of our Lord expressed in those tears for the one who was in deepest need. Jesus drawing alongside her in the most tenderest of ways. Our Lord is indeed sympathy personified. Some who accompanied her understood this. See how much he loved her. How much he loved Lazarus. But how tragic it was that there were also those who were cynical. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? The question, why? Intruding again. Not from faith in God, but tinged with the lack of faith. Our comfort is that in the deepest distress of bereavement, Jesus comes alongside us according to our particular personalities and needs. There is no one size fits all with our God. I'm sure that later Martha would have told Mary about the words of hope that Jesus had given her about the resurrection. How Jesus pointed to himself as the source of life, the new life, the resurrection life. How hope beyond the grave is found in him and in him alone. How life comes through believing in him, the Messiah, the Savior. For Martha and Mary, things did turn out differently. For we read later on that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, showing that he had indeed the power over death. A fact that would be made clearer when Jesus himself rose from the dead. There is indeed real hope in Jesus, just as there is real compassion in him for those who believe. And there is also real comfort in Jesus, for he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Not maybe, but will be. Some have found in this a paradox. How can one promise happiness, for that is the basic meaning of the word blessed, to someone who is mourning in the throes of deepest grief? But have we not in some ways already answered that? For in Jesus, even death takes on a different hue, a different colour. Different texture, as it were, for he is the resurrection and the life. But mourning in the Beatitude can also be understood as repenting because of sin, repenting because of our rebellion against God, repenting because of the broken relationship between us and God. For that is indeed what underpins the grief of death, the broken relationship. But now, this time, it is between us and God and us. When we appreciate this lost relationship and mourn, repent and weep, the one who again brings us real comfort is our Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the one who forgives, who restores, who renews, who instructs us to come to God as our Heavenly Father, who indeed comforts. Paul writes, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is His victory over sin and death that comforts the mourner, the mourning, repenting sinner. Christ Jesus brings comfort to all who know the grief of separation. In Him we find hope. For these verses I have just quoted from Paul come at the end of a chapter on the resurrection of Christ. And because He rose, we who believe in Him will also rise." So we see there is real hope in Jesus, the resurrection and the life. There is real comfort in Jesus, the one who comforts us in our deepest distress. There is real compassion in Jesus, who comes alongside us as we are. Real companionship in Jesus, who treats us individually as he dealt with Martha and Mary. Real forgiveness for those who repent, grieving because of their sin. Surely, it is to such a one that we can safely leave any questions we have. The question, why? Why, Lord? Knowing that He does indeed care for us. Bereavement. Lord, help us. Lord, help me. And He will, for He is able. Let us pray.